I'd like to talk to you tonight about hospitality / edification. Hospitality, that is the title of the message. Hospitality, or being hospitable, if we think of it as a verb, friendly and welcoming to strangers or guests. Perhaps best illustrated by what hospitality is not. This is from my own experience, but you've probably felt something like this if you've been around a long time and knocked on doors. You ring the doorbell and wait a minute, only to hear the TV turn down and the lights go off, and then everything kind of gets quiet on the inside. Because you know the occupants are there, though, they know you're there, and you know they are there. So you can't just walk away. You feel like, well, I have to do something now. So you ring the doorbell and you knock on the door right after you ring the doorbell, just kind of lightly. After a long minute with no response, you feel a sense of relief, kind of. But then the old nature sort of kicks in and you say to yourself, they're not coming to the door, so I'll just add one more little knock before I leave to let them know that I know that they're there. And as you turn to leave the house, your heart sinks as you hear a shuffle of feet on the inside and realize that your foolish zeal to have the last word, or perhaps the last knock, in doing that, you've captured the occupants of the home there by laying siege at the front door. In a few seconds, a rather disheveled man comes and opens the door, and he greets you with a monotone, "Yeah." As soon as you hear that, you introduce yourself, but before you're entirely finished with where you're from and who you are, he says, "Wait a minute," and he closes the door, but not all the way, leaves it cracked. You hear sort of a dull roar of voices on the inside, and though you can't understand the words, the voice inflections don't sound very inviting. In a few minutes, you hear the door open again, but slowly, as the lady of the house fixes her hair, and she takes this last glance at her husband as if to say, "You better behave yourself." Much to the obvious dismay of the man, you're invited into the house where you're greeted by a dog who sniffs you over and brushes up against your legs as if it were part of his inside ritual to claim unmarked territory. After an uncomfortable standoff in the middle of the living room floor, the newspapers and pillows are removed from the sofa and you're invited to sit down. Immediately, you're greeted and welcomed into the house by Frisky, the family cat that was rescued from the neighborhood dumpster where his leg was caught in the heavy door. It was a terrible ordeal for the now three-legged feline, who seems to suffer from the more immediate ravages of recently acquired skin disease that manifests itself in an annoying itch. But the white powder that's all over your pants is only medication, they assure you, and it won't hurt humans. Over the roar of the TV, which the husband, as if to say to his wife, "I'll show you who's boss around here," has restored it to full surround sound volume. You shout your purpose, followed by a pause, only to find out you captured the wrong house. You were looking for the neighbor. Did you ever have anything close to that happen to you? I can relate to that. Honestly, I can. Been in houses and feel so uncomfortable. That's not the hospitality we're talking about tonight. That's not what we need to be. Okay, but how important is hospitality? How important? Well, in light of our commission to make disciples, this is of extreme importance, hospitality, extreme importance to those of us who take seriously our being responsible to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us to be his disciples. And what's true of the individual is obviously and necessarily also true of the church, made up of us Christian individuals. And we can be sure hospitality is effective, can't we? Does hospitality work? Well, certainly it does. You've probably gone places, maybe churches, where the people were really friendly and they just were so welcoming when you came in. That's hospitality. And maybe you've been to other places that were not so hospitable. You know, our lasting impression is a lot of times just a continuation of our first impression. And the first impression's kind of hard to overcome. If we don't make a good first impression, well, you may not get another chance. But if you do, you have to overcome that now, and you have to really pull out the stops to accomplish that. Being hospitable is not only statistically proven effective, it's also biblically required. We're supposed to be hospitable. So it's not okay to be a hermit, or maybe a hermit, whatever the case might be. You can't be all to yourself. It's just not acceptable, not to the Lord. You know, we're in the people business. We're Christians. We're supposed to be in the people business, affecting the lives of others. We're supposed to win them to Christ and build them up in the faith, and build each other up in the faith. So we must practice hospitality. Think of it in a broad sense. Include in that edification and all that's involved, being outgoing and a people person, if you will. You know, each of the laws of God that were given by Moses were given as some sort of a reflection upon the character of God. I think we said that in the exchange study. The character of God is pictured in the laws of God. Thou shalt not kill tells us about how God loves life. He's a giver of life and he loves life. And he's not responsible for death. We are. Sin entered into the picture. Thou shalt not commit adultery is a reflection upon his loyalty, his faithfulness to his bride or his people. Thou shalt not lie points to the truthfulness of God. God is a truthful God. God cannot lie. Even the civil laws reflect who God is. Over in Leviticus chapter 19, you don't need to turn there just yet. Leviticus 19 verse 33 and 34, listen to this. It says, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. If a stranger dwells among you, you cannot vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you." Are you following this? Strangers should be as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19, 33 and 34. Now, this law reflects the character of God. God receives strangers, doesn't he? God even receives his enemy. And we're supposed to be like that. We were, before the fall, very godlike. But because of the fall, we've sort of taken up other things and we have different spirit about us. But God accepts strangers and he accepts even his enemies. Hospitality was exemplified in the Old Testament. And I want you to turn to these passages. We're going first to Job. Job 31 in verses 15 to 17. Then we're going to go back to Exodus. And we're going to look at some passages here. We'll just work backwards. Beginning in Job chapter 31 and verse 15. Hospitable was this man, Job. Job 31, 15. "Did not he," Job says, "that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eye of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone and fatherless, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof." So you kind of get the gist of what he's saying here. He's been hospitable to people. His hospitality excluded no one. Now that's hard. That's hard. Job was rich. He was well-to-do. Probably had a really nice, clean house. And there were people around, no doubt, that were beggars and all sorts. The fatherless and the homeless and the widows. And Job was concerned for them. He was hospitable. I'm saying that it was evident in the life of the men and women of God in the Old Testament. Back in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 16, Exodus 2:16, and we'll read all the way to verse 20. So turn there, Exodus 2:16 to 20. When Moses was introduced to his father-in-law, do you remember his father-in-law? What was his name? Starts with a J. Jethro. Okay, look at this passage, Exodus 2:16 to 20. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." So nothing special here, but it's just the way it was. People were hospitable. We're going back to Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, and we'll see the same thing in the life of Abraham. Genesis 8, and beginning in 18, excuse me, and beginning in verse 1. Genesis 18 and verse 1. "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from his tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, 'My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant.' And they said, 'So do as thou hast said.' And Abraham hastened to his tent unto Sarah and said, 'Make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth.' And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the young man. And he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat." He was hospitable. So we got lots of examples in the scriptures. Over in Luke chapter 6, because someone would no doubt ask, "Well, that was the Middle East, that was Old Testament era, but what about the New Testament? What about our dispensation?" Well, let's get a little closer over in the book of Luke in chapter 6, Luke 6 and verse 27. It's obvious that the Lord intended for his disciples to be hospitable, but more than hospitable. More than what we think of as hospitable. Verse 27 of Luke 6. "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." What do we call that? The golden rule. Verse 32, "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." You see, we're supposed to go out of bounds, so to speak, to be hospitable, to show kindness to other people. Hospitality was exemplified often in the scriptures. Go on over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Luke 9:51. Look at the response of the disciples when, in verse 51, "it came to pass When the time was come that he should be received, he steadfastly set his face to go toward Jerusalem. So he's finished with his Galilean ministry. He'll come back again in chapter 17, but he's going down and his hub of operation will be in the south now. This is the Lord Jesus, rather than in the north. It says in verse 52, he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. So he wasn't just, he was on his way to Jerusalem. I'm going to stop by Samaria. And when his disciple James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down out of heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye're of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. Luke 9, 51 to 56. This deed of the Samaritans, they didn't show hospitality to the Lord Jesus. And it was more than just being unsociable. It is an outrage. I mean, Peter and John, James and John believed it to be punishable by death. They're ready to call down fire out of heaven and consume the Samaritans. And Jesus taught them, no, that's the wrong idea. Being inhospitable was not acceptable even to those who were inhospitable. We have to be nice to people whether they're nice to us or not. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. There's a point to be made here. We'll never win people over by being like them. You'll never win an ungodly person by treating them in kind. We have to be something different. We have to be something that attracts them. It may not seem obvious that they are being moved by our hospitality or our kindness or our welcoming of them. It may not seem obvious at first, but you don't know how the Lord's going to use that in their life tonight when they say, lay their head on the pillow. And God can use what happened to them in the course of the day. Jesus taught hospitality, kind-heartedness in a parable. The parable is the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Luke 10, 30. Flip over a page. Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jericho," or from Jerusalem to Jericho, "and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." And you know the rest of the story. He was kind. He was hospitable. He didn't pass by because he didn't want to get dirty. He didn't shrink back from having to address this Jew as a Samaritan. He kind of went outside of the comfort zone to show kindness and show hospitality, if you will, to someone in need. Paul taught hospitality by example in Acts chapter 20 and verse 34. Acts 20 and verse 34 says, "Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity and to them that were with me, and have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak." You ought to labor and support the weak, he says, "and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive." So is this, I'm using the word hospitality, it's broader than that though, isn't it? Because in Christ's teaching, in the apostles' teaching, it was broader. It was kind-heartedness. It was a meek humility. It was a welcoming spirit. It was a hospitable attitude that Christians were supposed to exercise so that they could make a difference in the people business. Now, as I teach this to you tonight, I think of myself. I have said this before, perhaps, to you. When I was in high school, times were tough. It was in the South in the 60s and 70s, and it was unsettled, an unsettled time. And sometimes I would go to school and didn't open my mouth all day. Honestly, I didn't say one word all day. My lips were stuck together when I got home. It was that bad. And I was content to be an introvert. I was content to be very quiet to myself. And, oh, I could explain how I thought. And you would think, really? Really? And God called me to preach. Can you believe that? It's amazing to me that God would allow me, who was so introverted, to be in a position. Now, I could still be that way. I kind of like being by myself and that type thing, but we can't do that. You can't stay there. It's not okay that we're introvert. It's not okay that we want to be to ourselves. We're loners. That's not acceptable. You can't be a loner. Paul taught hospitality. It was used as a criteria for judgment of individuals, their Gentiles, at the second coming. When the Lord Jesus taught in chapter 25 of Matthew, we'll read some verses there, beginning in verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. Some verses there talking about the judgment that will take place when the Lord comes back to this earth, and it has to do with the Gentile nations. But it's not critical. The context is not critical. But look at what he said, verse 31. 25:31 of Matthew. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth sheep from the goats. Verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, people don't go to heaven because they were nice to somebody. We know that. But people who are going to heaven should have this characteristic. People won't go to heaven because they are nice to people, but people will be, we will be nice to people because we're the ones going to heaven. We know Jesus Christ. His Spirit lives within us. We're changed from the inside out. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And one of those new things is, I'm not my own man anymore. God sent his Son to purchase me, and the reasonable thing for me to do would be give him my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, and to be whatever he wants me to be. And what he wants me to be is hospitable, kind-hearted, humble, serving others, to have that spirit, that servant's heart, like our Lord Jesus had when he was here on this earth. He came and he went among the poor. He went among the people who who you would think, oh, not there. Don't start there. Let's reach them last, because they're sort of last on the in the social strata. But the Lord Jesus went and ministered among them. Hospitality was nurtured in the minds of those who received the epistles of Paul and Peter and others. Take a little trip with me. Let's start in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. I know it's a lot of turning, but necessary, I think. Galatians 6:10. And we're talking, these are just excerpts from the epistles that have to do with this idea of hospitality and kindness that we're talking about. Galatians 6:10. And we have there, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially them. But to all men, do good to all men. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. 1 John 3, 17. It says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I mean, come on. Be real. If there's somebody starving, and I'm supposed to have the love of God in me, and I let them starve, there's a problem here. 1 John 3, 17. Back a couple pages to Hebrews 13 and verse 2. Hebrews 13, 2. Just reading some out of the epistles here. It says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Entertain strangers. Hebrews 13 and verse 2. Hebrews 13 and verse 2. Entertain strangers. You know any strangers? Had any strangers in your house lately? Stop to talk to a stranger lately? So says the Bible. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Hebrews 6, 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Are you convinced yet? Hospitality, goodness, kindness to others, it's of God. This is what God wants. He tells us this so many times because that's the type of an individual who's going to make a difference in the world in which we live. A person who can speak and show kindness to others. Philemon 7, chapter 1, you could say. Philemon 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Philemon 7. Two more passages. 1 Timothy 5:10. 1 Timothy 5:10. And then we're going back to Galatians 6:10. 1 Timothy 5:10 says, well reported of for good works. If she hath brought up children, if she hath lodged strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed every good work. Who are we talking about here? The widow indeed. The one who, if she has no help from family, we're supposed to fill up the slack here, take up the slack. What did she do? She washed feet. She lodged strangers. She washed, or she relieved the afflicted. This is Christ honoring character, Christ honoring attitude, an attitude of hospitality, to be hospitable. Galatians 6:10 says, and we have there, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The word hospitality actually appears in the New Testament four times. I'll cite each of them for you. The first one is in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. The word hospitality is there. Romans 12, 13. Before we read that passage, let me say, remind you of the context. In chapter 1 and 2, chapter 3 and verse 20, it sort of establishes a fact, the first three chapters of Romans establishes the fact that we're all lost. Jews or Gentiles, all men, everywhere, in all times, are all lost. They're undone, guilty before God. Chapter 3 and verse 21 to 521 speaks of justification. What is justification? Remember the meaning of that? Let me start. Declared. What? Righteous. Declared righteous. Declared righteous. I like declared innocent too. When we're not innocent. But we're not righteous either, are we? But we're declared righteous because of Jesus. That's chapter 3 to chapter 5. Chapter 6 to 8 develop a doctrine of sanctification and the believer's position. There's positional sanctification. In God's mind, I'm already perfect. I'm in Christ. And yet I still drag around this body of death. This sinful nature still has its remnant. And I'm host to that in my earthly body. Chapters 9 to 11 talk especially about the gospel and the Jews. 12 to 16. Remember when we did our study, we got to chapter 12. And it becomes much more practical, describing the Christian life and service that's pleasing to the Lord. And so in chapter 12 and verse 1, it's the beginning of that portion of the book that deals with Christian living. It's always easy to hear those types of things. The section begins with the admonition to give our bodies a living sacrifice. 12, 1 and 2. 3 to 8, verses 3 to 8 of chapter 12, describe the ministry through the seven categories of spiritual gifts. We've mentioned that a couple times lately. And then 9 to 13 speak of our responsibility one toward another. So we're talking about that practical instruction from the book of Romans. And it's after we've given ourselves to the Lord. And here's sort of a description of how we should treat one another. It says in verse 9, 12, 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, it's got to be sincere. It's real. It's not what you do, it's what you are on the inside. It's a decision that you've made. He says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful, that means sluggish in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints. And would you read the last three words? Given to hospitality. The word given, dioko, is a verb. It means to run swiftly in order to catch something. You're going to try to catch something. Metaphorically, it's to pursue, to seek after eagerly, to earnestly endeavor to get this, to acquire something. That's the idea. The word hospitality, of course, is entertaining strangers. So you put the two together, you have this. Rush into opportunities to entertain strangers. I keep talking about the Bible study. I am excited about Bible studies because it seems to be one of the few ways in our day to really address spiritual things with a stranger. But you have to be hospitable. You have to open up your life and let somebody get a little bit close. Because in a real sense, you have to win somebody to yourself in 2021 before you're going to win them to the Lord. We have to win them to ourselves. And what better way of doing that than spending some time at your expense together with them, so that we might have that opportunity to minister in the spiritual things. You probably don't know too many people who are truly needy. So it doesn't have to be a needy person, just somebody who, you know, they're just somebody to you. They're not a friend, they're not necessarily a neighbor, but you can draw them out and perhaps have an opportunity. Rush into the opportunities to entertain strangers. The second mention of the word hospitality is in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 Timothy 3, 2. Timothy and Titus, what are they? What do we refer to them as, these epistles? They are the pastoral epistles. And you have the qualifications of a pastor mentioned there. Here they are. It says in verse 2, 1 Timothy 3, 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. These are, for the most part, things that all of us ought to do. Everything mentioned in those verses, that's for every Christian, but you don't want to call a pastor who's not doing what every Christian should do. Do you understand what I just said? Everybody should be doing these things, most of them, these qualifications. They're just what Christians ought to do. So when you call a pastor, find somebody who's doing what Christians ought to do, what we all ought to be doing. The point is that you need a pastor who's doing what we're commanded to do. He's given to hospitality. It's one Greek word, philoxenos. Philoxenos is an adjective. It means hospitable, generous, or friendly to guests or strangers. No surprises there, huh? It's pretty simple concept. You got to be nice to people. You got to be open with people. You got to be inviting to people and welcoming to them and kind to them. The next mention is in Titus, right next door here, Titus 1:8. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. That's the list there. Same word, same one Greek word as in 3:2 of 1 Timothy. And the last mention is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. Again, the same word as in 1 Timothy 3:2. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. 1 Peter 4:9. Now, I shared a lot of scripture tonight. Sorry about having you turn so quickly. But what's the gist of this? What's the point? The point is this, in two words, pursue. Go after. Try to attain unto hospitality. Kindness to others. Our edification program can help you get over the hump. You know, if we're going to have people in our house and we're going to talk about the Lord, well, if we can't talk about the Lord among ourselves, how will we be able to talk about the Lord to the workaday world out here? How are you going to talk about the Lord to a stranger if you can't to a brother? You see how important this is? It's why we ought to be engaged. Everybody ought to be engaged, because none of us can be introverts. You can't be a loner anymore. God wants us to be engaged in the ministry of people, winning the lost and edifying, building people up in the faith, helping them to know everything that Jesus taught. That's what the Lord wants of us. That's why I say often, and I'm not just giving a plug for the edification ministry, but I can't miss the opportunity. It's a great way to get over the hump. Let's practice with each other so that when you meet a stranger who's doing some work at your house, or somebody whose line you go through in the grocery store every time you go, or somebody that you work with, or just an acquaintance, or maybe a total stranger, both of you are looking for the same thing in the store and you just sort of strike up a conversation. Why? Because you're a people person and you try to reach out to others. It's not okay with the Lord for us to be loners. It's contrary to what we're commissioned to be and to do. Hospitality is inseparably linked to edification. I know in Maine, there's sort of a built-in element in Maine, because a lot of people come to Maine to be alone. Leave me alone. And that, over the years, I've heard that's been the case. You know, but people don't need to be left alone. If they're left alone, they're going to die and spend eternity in hell. So we're going to have to sort of break down the barriers and win them to ourselves by acts of kindness and outgoing personality, and show a sincere interest in them, talking about their soul. Talk about what's important to them. And when you've won them to yourselves, then there'll likely be an opportunity to win them to the Lord or to start the process, to sow some seed. Be hospitable. Pursue hospitality. Open up. Come out of your comfort zone. Come out of your comfort zone and engage people. Engage people so that we might make a difference. Brother Al and I were talking earlier today about our country. What a mess it's in. I don't know if it'll rebound. There's the balance just sort of teeters back and forth on people who sort of see it the old way and people who have all new ideas, and they're not good ideas. And they're going to destroy the country if those ideas went out. And so it may be, even in the rest of our lives, that we're going to live in a different America than we ever have lived. What is the hope? The hope is Jesus Christ. The hope is for you and for me to win somebody to Jesus Christ and teach them what Jesus said. And if it happened today, like it happened in the book of Acts, they might go and tell their spouse or their children or their grandchildren, and maybe it could start to multiply. If America turns around, this is what it would take. But America's not the most important thing. I'll tell you, the one who hung on the cross and died for my sins, he's the important one. For his glory and honor, for his eternal glory and honor, you and I ought to come out of our shell and try to bring people to Christ and help them to know the truth, because to know the truth is life. If I can help you any way, I'm here. I'd love to. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share these thoughts tonight. Thank you for my brothers and sisters who've come to hear. And I pray, Lord, that it'll not just fall on deaf ears, that each of us would consider, Lord, what you would have us to do with these many verses that we read tonight that encourage us to be people persons and hospitable and outgoing, friendly and humble spirited and helpful and good. Lord, help us. I pray that we'll make a difference in Corinth, that we'll make a difference in Maine, that we'll make a difference in this country, that will make a difference in this world. And Lord, I pray that you would do it for Jesus, for his sake. We ask it through his merit, not our own. Amen.